Today on Real Life Radio.
On your mark, get set. Man, the Lord could come today.
He said, I don't believe in that.
So you could slip on a banana peel and you could go meet him today. Are you ready? Are on your mark? And listen, are you getting set? Let's get set right now. Get set to make heaven your new home.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Fall Down, Part 2, continues his series called The Book of Revelation. In Revelation, the Apostle John has been telling us about heaven, how we'll see Jesus face to face, and about the awesome things that will happen there. You see, for some, Jesus is still a mystery, but soon you're going to discover that through thick and thin, Jesus is right there for you, that when hardship and troubles start to press in, he's your comfort. And when forgiveness and acceptance is needed, well, he reassures you with his promises. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when Jesus is the object of our affection, our worship and praise for him will become second nature. And when our sights are set on heaven, the cares of this world will no longer seem important. Now in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Fall Down, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Book of Revelation chapter 5 this morning, we are in verses 8 to 14. And part two of our message entitled, On Your Mark, Get Set, Fall Down. The life of the believer, and that is worship. If you are a Christian this morning, you are concerned, excited, blessed to be involved in worship. Revelation 5, verse 8, John says, Now when he, that is Jesus, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for or because you were slain. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the four living creatures and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a lot. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength, honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that is in them, I heard saying, blessing, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. In part one of our study, we considered our look into the glimpse of heaven and the worship of heaven and what John tells us is taking place and what shall take place. Because, you know, John was prophetically taken to that moment when the events of the tribulation period are just about ready to be poured out upon the earth. The church is now caught up into heaven and the church is there seeing these things that are to be ours in the not too distant future as a believer, as Christians, as a church. And we studied the first point to our lesson, and that is for us to be on our mark. And we looked at what that meant. We saw that Noah Webster defined to be on the mark or to be moving on a journey, to take the first step on a path or a journey for life. And so we see here in verses 8 through 10 that we're challenged, and we were challenged to be on our mark. On our mark in this way, church, that we have our sights set on heaven. Again, as we look at this world and we see the depravity and the decay of this world, the murder and the mayhem and the abuse that's going on in the world, that people would abduct little children and slay them, that things would be done. And now all of this data, you know, all of this information I'm seeing as you are seeing on these news documentary programs of what Saddam Hussein has done to people, his own people, and yet people are questioning, why did we go to war? What was the purpose? I wish somebody would ask the Iraqis what was the purpose, you know, they know. Horrible, torturous things were done and all these things, and I can't describe to you some of the things that I saw this week or last week when I was in Europe as we were teaching in Germany, and you catch the news and you see some of these things that were done. What man can do to man, that's not of God, my friend. Don't blame God for that. Man, when he is godless in his thinking and without God in his mind and without God as his affection and as his focus, man does insane things to one another. Terrible things. Well, listen, as Christians, our sights are to be set on heaven. And the way this world is going, I want to put my sights on heaven. I want to be focused on where I'm going and what's up there. And in verses 8 through 10, we saw some key things. Number one, that if we're going to get on our mark, you remember this, that Jesus Christ needs to be the object of our affection. And maybe for some of you this morning, Jesus is still a mystery. You're still checking him out. You're still thinking about it. Or maybe as we looked at, he's curious to you. We looked into that for a moment about, you know what, you're wondering about Jesus. For some of you, you've accepted Christ recently and it's all new. And you're getting to know Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. But for some of you, Christ has become your life. You're growing, as the Bible says, in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that is a great and powerful thing. Paul the Apostle, now listen, if Paul prayed this prayer, this is what you and I need to pray and be conscious of. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul prayed this, that I may know him, that is Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Why? Being conformed to his death, that if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, I have not yet reached my goal, says Paul, and I am not become complete, but Christ has taken hold of me. Can you say that this morning, church, that Christ has taken hold of you? Do you know that? That Jesus has laid hold of your life? He says that Christ has taken hold of me, so I keep on running and struggling toward the prize. He goes on to say, my friends, I do not feel that I have yet arrived for what reason Christ has called me. But listen, he says, but I forget those things that are behind me, those things that would detract from my growth, and I struggle toward that which is ahead. I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize, Paul says, that God offers because of what Christ has done for us. Moving onward. Having Jesus as your affection. We looked at that, and that's a very important thing. We looked at Christ regarding us being on the mark, regarding worship as our spiritual exercise. And we'll hear more about that this morning because this whole chapter is about worship. But we saw in verse 9 that they sang a new song. Those had been redeemed from all nations of the earth. Why is that taking place in heaven at that moment? That's an important question. Because the rapture's taken place. The rapture has already taken place in our study by Revelation 5. The church is in heaven and they've been caught up out of the earth from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation of the earth. And that is a great thing, spiritual worship. And we, as a church, we want to practice worship. We want to be led in spiritual worship. Now, there's one thing. Christian music's great, by the way. I mean, a lot of it. Some of it, you can't tell who they're singing about sometimes, you know. But by and large, Christian music, you listen to that and it's great. But listen, not all Christian music is worship. It can be entertainment, you know, which is, again, okay. But when you want to worship, there's that place that you go, or there's that type of music that you might listen to. You know, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. We haven't had him here in a while, but I can't wait. He's coming. We've got him booked. You guys remember Marty Goetz? Marty Goetz is a worshiper. I love that guy. And Marty Goetz is coming. And if you've never seen or heard Marty Goetz come, the beautiful thing about it was when he's playing, he so gets into his presence before the Lord that the last time he was at the church, remember he was going like this, he was kicking his legs, and he's worshiping the Lord with the piano, and he's like, man, he's just so anointed, and his shoes are flying off, you know. And he's worshiping. And there's such an anointing. There's something about when someone is a worshiper of God that something happens. Why? It's a spiritual exercise. And there are Christians in churches that do not give themselves to worship. They're lacking terribly. They struggle with sin greatly. They're not much for prayer. They don't experience much victory. Why? Because they're lacking worship. They're not worshipers. It's through worship that we see what the realities of heaven are all about. Church, be a worshiping church. Please, I beg of you, be a worshiping church. Be a church that puts worship as a priority. That's our honoring unto God. Listen, worship, that's our giving unto God. And we do that. And then God responds by the teaching of the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit using the Bible. Our offering to God is worship. Is he important enough that we worship him? Is Jesus the object of our affection in our worship? Then we come and give to him. And then God responds from our worship in giving us the word of God. But being on our mark meant that we were to be exercising spiritual worship. Zechariah 13:6 says, "And one shall say unto him in those days, what are these wounds between your arms or in your hands?" This is the prophetic coming of Christ. "Then Christ will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." The Bible tells us that those that are worshiping Jesus in heaven, we will be conscious of the fact that he was a lamb as though it had been slain. Jesus will bear the scars of the crucifixion for all eternity. We'll see him forever scarred. And even Israel in Zechariah 13:6 will see the wounds in his hands. And then you think about King David. I think about a man of worship. David was one of our great examples of worship. David loved to worship God. What an amazing guy. He was a warrior and he was a worshiper. He had a harp in one hand at times. Then he had a sword in the other hand at other times. He's an amazing man. King David was. And the Bible tells us in the beloved 23rd Psalm, verse 6, he says, "Surely," that goes for Bob and Mary too, if your name's, but "surely," he says, he says, "surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That was David's desire. What could a king desire? You know, he, at one of his stages of his life, David was the most wealthy man on the planet. Do you know that? He was the Bill Gates of his day and king of Israel. And what did he say? He says, "You know what? One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And if that wasn't enough, he says, "You know what? I know that when I die, I am going to be worshiping in the temple of God in heaven forever. That's my desire." Do you know what the desire of a king ought to be? To worship the Lord like David. You know what the desire of every peasant under that king should be? To worship the Lord, the King of heaven and earth. What a great thing, the call to worship. In Psalm 27:4, I spoke of it a moment ago. It says, "One thing," he says, "have I desired," Psalm 27:4, "that will I seek after," and that is to worship God. And it's a brand new song, and we saw that. And then the third thing that we saw was that if we were going to get on our mark as a church, is that Jesus Christ is returning to the earth, and we need to get ready for that. And that's an exciting event. It's prophesied in Scripture. Listen, this got some eyebrows going last time I mentioned this, and it's absolutely a fact. You better jot it down and study it. You and I are worshiping Jesus Christ, and we call him our Lord and Savior by faith. And you might say, what's the big deal about that? Here's the big deal about that. We know what we know about him historically, biblically, what's written in the Scripture. But listen, church, Christ still has things to fulfill. The Bible is not complete when it comes to the prophetic word. What do I mean by that? Christ must return. Listen, Jesus must sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. If he doesn't, he's not the Messiah. We've missed him. That's how sure Christ must return and sit upon the throne of David, an actual, literal throne in Jerusalem. And we talked about why Jerusalem is such an issue in the world today. Ultimately, it's because Christ is to seat. to have that seat, that throne established. Jesus is going to reign from Jerusalem. And so now we pick up where we left off last time. And our second point, it is this: on your mark, and it is get set, verses 11 through 12. Get set, church, this way to make heaven your new home. Get ready, you're moving. It could be today. I know it's a nice day. Would like to hang around on a day like this. But what if Christ came today? On your mark, get set. Man, the Lord could come today.
He said, I don't believe in that.
So you could slip on a banana peel and you could go meet him today. Are you ready? Are on your mark? And listen, are you getting set? Let's get set right now. Get set to make heaven your new home. John says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many. The voice of many. They're angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. Hey, getting ready means this: to make heaven your choice. I love what is displayed here and what is taught here for this reason. John says, and listen to him, put your eyes in his eyes. He says, then I looked and I heard the voice of how many? A few? Many. I have this marked in my Bible. There's a crowd in heaven. That's a good thing. You want to know why? Because it's at the expense of Jesus Christ, his blood, that salvation brought redemption to the world. Listen, everyone. Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life. And you know what I'm glad for? I'm glad that that blood that was shed, that life that he gave, will have purchased many out of this world. I'm glad. I'm glad for him. Didn't God prophesy to his son, I will give the nations to you as a reward? Didn't he say that in Isaiah 53 and 54? Jesus died on the cross for our sins, your sin and my sin. I had a man tell me yesterday, I'm not so bad of a sinner. Can you imagine? That's kind of like saying, I'm just a little bit of a murderer. I only lie just a little bit. How do you do that? You're either a murderer or you're not. You're either a liar or you're not. I'm not that big of a sinner. Look, to me, you're not that big. Listen, to you, I'm not that big of a sinner. But you and I don't count. We don't sit there. It's not like, you know, let me see. You only got 10 marks this month. They're doing really good. God doesn't grade on a curve like that. The Bible says that all of us need his salvation. What do you think that means? And why? Because we need to be redeemed. We need to be saved. Even if we've never, listen to this. You might be thinking, I've never done anything that I could think of that would be at all offending to God. Let's give you that. Let's just give that to you. We'll let you have it. What about your thoughts? Nothing comes to mind. I'll buy that if you're Pinocchio, okay, and it's just wood. But listen, pride, lust, anger, temper, evil thinking. Jesus says it's in us. The Bible says it's in us, and we need him. And he washes that away from us. Oh, man. To get set means to make heaven a reality, that it's going to be our new home, and that we have a choice. And that choice is, and it follows in a long line of those that have gone before us, to decide. Listen, young man, woman, you must decide if you're going to make heaven your home or not. I had somebody write me a letter last week, and you had mentioned something about, you know, hell in the Bible. Jesus said hell. That's right. Nobody talked on hell more than Jesus. But he went to the cross so that nobody would go there. And this person suggested that if I did not bring up the word, you know, H-E double hockey sticks, that all would be well. Don't even mention it. Isn't that interesting? Think about that. Don't mention it. Because the church will grow more. It'd be better if we don't hear that stuff. Isn't it interesting that all the cults, that's exactly what they do? Isn't it interesting that Satan doesn't want anybody to think that the end is coming? Pastor, you're getting kind of fire and brimstone-y there, aren't you? No. The price that was presented upon the cross was to keep us from going to hell. Jesus doesn't want us to go there. The Bible says that God created hell for Satan and his fallen angels. It was not intended for humans. Humans were supposed to be smart enough that when they heard the gospel, they would say, get me out of this burning mess that I'm heading toward. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. You have to make that choice. John says, I looked and I saw, and let me paraphrase this, I saw a lot of people, huge amount of people who had made the choice. They chose Christ. They followed him. I'm so glad that is the case, that heaven is well populated. Romans 5 verses 8 and 9 says, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that great? He didn't wait around for somebody good to show up. Jesus died for us before you and I were ever born. Aren't you glad? Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Revelation 12:10 says, then I heard a loud voice saying from heaven. I love that. A loud voice. Can you imagine? Gee, Pastor, you're sure loud this morning. You ain't heard nothing yet. John says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren, you know who that is? Anybody? Satan. That's one of his nicknames. The accuser of you. He is before God day and night accusing you. God, look at that thought he's thinking. Hey, look at what he just did. I think that's the only time Satan speaks the truth is about our wrong. Who accuses us before God day and night. He has been cast down and they overcame him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. Great news. Revelation 7:13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How in the world do you get your filthy robe in this world white by having blood put on it? When it's the blood of Christ offered up upon the cross for our sins, it takes all of our sin and Christ washes them away in his blood. You better come to Christ today, my friend. If you're not a Christian, if you think this just blanket applies to the world, it does not. You must choose. You must say, I want this price paid upon the cross through Christ Jesus. I want that debt that was paid on my behalf to be attributed to my account.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio. In his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Fall Down, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. On Your Mark, Get Set, Fall Down, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you know, February's Book of the Month from Pastor Jack, it's actually a movie, and it's called Genesis, Paradise Lost. When so many of us are searching for our ancestry these days, the movie Genesis, Paradise Lost takes us back to the beginning. Have you struggled with maybe sharing your faith and about what the Bible says about creation? The truth that God created the heavens and the earth is still a battleground that leaves a lot of Christians unprepared. But this award-winning film brings the first chapter of Genesis to life. Genesis, Paradise Lost is a stunning documentary that exposes the lie millions believe about evolution and gives the truth about who we are and why we're here. And more importantly, the truth about who created us. So explore the evidence and experience creation like you've never seen it before. Don't miss your opportunity to watch this very unique and powerful film. This visually rewarding film has the Dove seal for all ages, which means that you can watch it with the whole family and include it in your homeschool curriculum if you'd like. It's also a fantastic tool for witnessing and will open up some pretty interesting conversations. Genesis, Paradise Lost is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.